Good morning, everybody. It's good to be back in Fairmont, a city that I know and love. With the grateful heart, I enjoy coming back to not only this city, but to this church. It was foundational in my life. It's where I got saved and baptized, and in many ways discipled and prepped me for ministry. And although that was multiple years ago, it's still special to come back. And the ministry of the men in this pulpit, besides my dad, heard hundreds of sermons from this pulpit that just were a blessing in my life and challenged me to serve the Lord. In my time with you this morning, I would like us to turn to the book of Luke. We will be looking at one verse this morning, Luke 10:2. I would like us to consider what Christ says in this one verse, not only to his disciples, but to us today in the 21st century. And if you're taking notes, the 3 points would be the harvest, the lack of workers, and the command to pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to open your word this morning and to consider Christ's words to be challenged in our personal life, in our life of our church, to be better disciples, to be prayerful, and realize the great need, not only in our immediate community, but around the world, and help us to be more faithful in praying to you, the Lord of the harvest, to send more laborers into your harvest. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Allow me to simply read the verse that we will be considering this morning. And with each of the points here, I'd like to illustrate it from where we live and try to make us understand the need that Christ is mentioning here in this verse. Let's read it, or allow me to read it. Luke 10:2. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. As I said this morning in Sunday school, but some of you might have arrived for the morning service, we live in the desert. We live in the driest desert in the world, the Atacama Desert. And for things to grow in the desert, you need water. Things do grow in the desert, but you need water. Water is life. Where our city is located on the ocean, there are two valleys that come from the Andes Mountains that flow into our city and into the ocean. And it's because of that, there is an ample harvest every year, throughout the whole year actually, of fruits and vegetables. You have the Utah Valley at the north and the Asapa Valley in the south. This is what those valleys look like. It is a surreal look, I'm telling you. Dry hills, and in the bottom of the valley, there's something green growing. And it's only because of the water that's there, that's coming from the Andes Mountains, the summer runoff or the summer melt that's flowing through these valleys down to our city. And in these valleys, you see crops growing. Yesterday on our way up here from Ankeny, my wife was saying, look at the corn. It's knee-high by the 4th of July. It's actually a little bit more. Things grow when there's rain, and we got some this morning. And this week, I think it's going to dry it out a little bit more. But this helps crops grow. The harvest is plenteous where we live, despite the desert conditions. And in this valley, all of this harvest is growing, and it's being harvested and taken to our city to be sold. And this harvest is a wonderful thing. It's a bad thing when there's not a harvest during your season due to climate, due to something that's happened. But it's a positive thing when the harvest is plenteous. Here's some pictures of our harvest in our city. It's amazing. the different types of fruits and vegetables that you can buy directly from the valley. You don't have to go to Hy-Vee or Fairway. You take the middleman out. Comes direct. Any type of tomato, any type size of tomato, spices, herbs, fruits, the harvest is obviously plentiful in our region, despite a desert condition because of the rain in the mountains and the snow that's being melted. This is a picture of our kitchen. One Saturday I went to the market, and this is what I bought. A little bit of mangoes, a little bit of avocados, and when I say avocados, they're huge. Limes, olives, carrots. Just carrots taste better in chili. I don't know why. But this is just a visual illustration of this point that Christ is saying to his disciples and to us, that the harvest truly is great. In a spiritual sense, there is a great need, not only here in Martin County and in Minnesota, the upper Midwest, in the United States, but around the world. The harvest is truly great. Do you sense that? Does that motivate you in your spiritual life to be more faithful in sharing God's word with others? The harvest, in an agricultural sense, when it's great, that is a good thing. And when we think of it in a spiritual sense, it is a wonderful fact to know that wherever you go in the world, there is a great need for people to know about Christ. People don't know they're looking for God, but there's a hole in their heart that only God can fill. That happens here in Fairmont. That happens in Arica, Chile. The harvest is plentiful, not only in an agricultural sense, but in a spiritual sense. There is a great need, and I am thankful that our family is living where we are, because there's a great need there. And we represent you guys as partners in the gospel to share the gospel in that location on the other side of the world. Different culture, different language, but at the core of it, we should be doing the same things, sharing the gospel with our community, because there's a great need. The United States of America is not the same United States of America that I know, that every 4 years or so, 6 years in this case, you come back and it's slightly different. There's a great need for Christ. Christ is the answer. Spiritually speaking, in our city, our country in Chile is known for its being Catholic, but over the past 20 years, the demographic numbers are saying that more people are leaving the Catholic Church, leaving mainline denominations, and they're becoming more agnostic, they're non-spiritual, non-religious. But Catholicism still has a stronghold in the city where we live, because it's a mixture of Peruvian, Bolivian, Chilean cultures, Andean culture, Andean worldview culture that mixes Catholicism and folk religion together. So here's some pictures of other churches and religions in our city. Catholicism, as they worship idols, as they worship the saints, you see that it's very prevalent in our city. Matter of fact, in one of the valleys I told you about, every year, I think it's in September, there is a pilgrimage about 22 miles up. We live on the ocean, so if you see on the map, our city is on the ocean. If you walk up that valley 22 or 23 miles, which is the length of this pilgrimage, you get to a little chapel, Catholic chapel, where they go and worship Virgin Mary. I took a picture of this in a Catholic church downtown, and it's actually the route that they travel. And people do this every year. And the thinking, if you're a devout Catholic, is every rock that I step over on this 22-mile trek up to the chapel, represents a sin in my life that will be forgiven by Mary. So it's a visual illustration to them as devout Catholics of doing penance, of doing something by works to gain favor from Mary and in turn to Jesus and God. This is the sad reality of people who are blind to the gospel, who don't realize that it's not by works that we are saved. It is by grace, by faith and grace alone, not by works that we have done and we can boast about, Ephesians says. We also have many Pentecostal churches in our city who warp the gospel, have changed the gospel, have added to the gospel in the wealth and prosperity. There are cults in our city, Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons. The Mormons have 12 church locations strategically placed in our city. It's just amazing. There are other churches, the Church of God. This is a Brazilian cult, wealth and health and wealth gospel, Assemblies of God, etc., etc. Our city is known for carnival, and carnival is a mixture of Catholic faith and folk religion. And it is, ironically, 40 days before Easter. And it is the last party before Easter. Carnaval, carne, the flesh. The last time to do something fleshly before we're going to get down to brass tacks and get serious about our religion in the Catholic Church. This is what carnival is. It is festive. It is colorful. It is cultural because it is a mix of Andean cultures, different villages coming down from the mountains, down the valley to Arica to dance together. It is spiritual, it is commercial, it is cultural. There's no way to separate the three. And it is accepted that everyone in Arica does this or has a business that caters to this. This is the culture and the milieu of where we're serving and sharing the gospel. At the core, this carnival is pagan. But many would say, oh, but David, it's just cultural. It's just we're preserving our identity. We dance with our certain colors. And that is true. But at the core, they do not realize that they are worshiping different idols, different gods, besides the God of the Bible. So in some ways, we are in a very tough area because this is just inbred in their upbringing. A few other pictures of all the different dancing groups that practice all year round to dance 3 days straight. It's a competition, but it's also just preserving their identity as a community, as a different town or village in the mountains. See just the elaborate uniforms that they're putting together, the cost that goes into this. And all these different masks represent different things. Allow me to just mention several concepts that I have observed in our city, specifically with the carnival. You know, there is a certain type of reverence. When they have an event, they take the time at the beginning to say some prayers or mantras to the Pachamama, which is Mother Earth. And you see this in the picture there. They put down flowers. They put down leaves. They pour some alcohol. They burn some incense. There is a certain type of reverence to what they're doing, what they believe in. They take it seriously. Another way to say it. There's reverence about what they're doing. There is definitely awe. They're in awe of what's happening because they show up. and they are wowed in what they believe. There is a lot of sacrifice that goes into the carnival, practicing all year round with your group, 3 days straight dancing. This is in the summertime, in the heat. But I tell you what, they have convictions and they live out their convictions. They believe something and thus they're doing something. You see that fleshed out every year. There is definite passion and enthusiasm in what they do and believe. And you know what? There's a lot of hard work that goes into it. Exhaustion. There's a certain type of disciple making as well. Just follow with me. Disciple meaning they tell their kids about what they're doing and why they should do it too. They're recruiting the next generation of worshipers. We can see that the harvest is plentiful in our city. This is just one example of the carnival. Let's go back to the verse, Luke 10:2. Christ says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Second point, the laborers are few. If we go up this valley, if I could get you in my vehicle and take you up the valley, it's a wonderful drive, and you look out into the fields, if you look closely, you'll see some workers. Typically, they're harvesting by hand. It's not with huge combines, although you will see some tractors, it's typically by hand. But these workers are few and far between. They do a lot of work. The harvest is great. We got to get it out. We got to get the potatoes out. We got to get the carrots. They're constantly working. There is ample work to be done in these valleys, and they're constantly looking for workers, because the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Then Jesus goes on to say, pray ye therefore, because of all of this, disciples of Christ, I'm talking to you today. Christ says, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, to who? The Lord of that harvest, the Lord of the harvest. We need to commit ourselves to pray to the Lord of the harvest. Here's a picture of the church in Antofagasta on a Wednesday night, praying together for the next generation of disciples of Christ, the next generation of pastors, the next generation of missionaries coming from their church. Here's a picture of the new church plant in Arica, where we currently live. We are also praying earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. There is a great need for more workers. Christ not only says to pray to him, but he said that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. I would like to challenge you and your commitment to prayer, to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send more laborers, because there are few in the world. There is a great need. The harvest is plentiful. Pray that he would send out laborers into his harvest. I'm thankful for this church in its many, many ministries in my life to prepare me to be able to go out to the mission field. And we need to pray for the next generation of missionaries coming from our churches here in Minnesota. I remember growing up in this church, and I think it was on that board over there, on that wall where that light is, was the missionary board at that time. And we were praying for the popes in Uruguay, and Larry Hagen in Japan, and Mr. Grant, who used to work up in Canada. That was great. That was impactful in my life, in understanding that the need was great around the world. But also the need is great here in our city of Fairmont. There are people who live next to you who need Christ. There are people who you work with that need Christ. There are people that occasionally attend this church that need Christ. And I would encourage you to be faithful in your responsibility here in Fairmont and Martin County, because the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. I would hope that you are participating in some way in and through your local church in the Great Commission, by making disciples, by praying for more workers, by sending out more. And in closing, I'd like us to consider the concepts that I mentioned, that I have observed in people in Arica, but in a warped way. How is your reverence to the King of Kings? Do you take what he says seriously? How about your awe of him? Behold our God and his attributes. What about your sacrifice in your life, in your family's life? Are you sacrificing in some way to see the gospel advance in and through your local church, in and through the missionaries that you support? How about your convictions? You say you believe things, but are you living it out? I encourage you to connect those dots and not just say you believe, but on Monday at work, live a different way. Live out your convictions with joy, through sacrifice, with an awe of God and a reverence to him. Your passion and enthusiasm. Last week was VBS. Oh, that's going to be tough. But it's an opportunity to impact the next generation of kids for Christ. It takes hard work. Serving the Lord is awesome, but it's exhausting. I encourage you to do that in and through your local church. I encourage you to make disciples. Just as the families in Arica take the time and effort and cost to train their kids to do and believe what they do. As parents and grandparents, we need to do that with our family as well. To serve and love the King of Kings above all, because he is worth it. I would ask you to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest for these matters as well. Simply one verse, but it is packed full of things to munch on and chew on today, to meditate and to apply into our lives. The harvest is great, not only in Arica, but here in Fairmont. What does that do? Does that motivate you to pray more, to sacrifice more, to participate more in Great Commission living? There is a lack of workers. We are tickled pink that there's more workers coming to serve with us, but they are a drop in the bucket compared to the need that we see in our region. The command to pray. Christ commands us to pray to the Lord of the harvest that he would send more laborers into his ready harvest. These are the three things that I would like you to remember from this one verse in Luke 10:2 today. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to open up your word and to hear from you with this challenge, the threefold challenge, to admit that there is a great need around the world. There are millions of people without Christ, billions of people without Christ. Lord, help us to be active and intentional in our walk with you, to share Christ with others, to disciple others. We pray that you would meet the need around the world of the lack of workers. We need more help. We need more pastors. We need more single missionary women. We need couples. We need people who have retired or just retired to come and help and serve through their time and talents. Lord, help us to be intentional in serving you, to see the gospel advance around the world. Help us to be more committed to pray faithfully, to to you, the Lord of the harvest, that you will send more laborers into this ready harvest. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning here at Fairmont Baptist Church, and for the opportunity to share what you have been doing these past six years in northern Chile. And I'm thankful for the partnership with this church and the gospel as we desire to see more people saved and discipled and joining local churches that preach soundly the Word of God. There are great difficulties in all of this, but we trust in you in each step, and by faith we continue to advance and wait upon you for growth. We love you, Lord, and we leave all these things into your hands this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.